My name is Ed Morrow, and I'm pastor, or retired pastor, but I pastored Grace Lutheran Church in Lafayette, Indiana, for about 25 years, and then went over to help at Redeemer Lutheran Church in West Lafayette for another 4 years. Got a call in the middle of the week, I think it was Wednesday, or an email, and said that Pastor Tibbin was going to be quarantined, and certainly we pray for his family, indeed all families who are quarantined at this time, for health and safety for all people. And with that in mind, I was asked to come over and lead worship service this morning. So with that in mind, we pray God's richest blessings upon our worship service. We'll begin with our opening hymn, hymn 554. I invite you to stand. O Lord, open my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. I invite you to turn to page, to the psalm of today, Psalm 80, in the front part of your hymnal. beginning at verse 7, half verse by half verse. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your faith shine. You brought a vine out of Egypt. You cleared ground for it. The mountains were filled with its shade. It sent out branches to the sea. When they have broken down its walls, the boar from the forest rages. Turn, O God of hosts. Have regard for this vine, the stock that is at your right hand. You may be seated. And at this time, Dave, if you can hear me wherever you are, I think I skipped over the Venite. Should we be doing that right now? Maybe I could ask the congregation. Sure. Okay, very good. Thank you, Dave. Our first reading for today from Isaiah 5, 1 through 7. Let me sing for my beloved, my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it, hewed out a wine vat in it, and he looked for it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. Oh, now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard than I have not done it? When I looked for it to yield grapes, why did it only yield wild grapes? And now I tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove the hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will rake down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and briars and thorns shall grow up. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant planting. And he looked for justice, but behold, there was bloodshed. For righteousness, but behold, an outcry. O Lord, have mercy. Our second reading is from Philippians chapter 3. If anyone thinks he has a reason for confidence in his flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness, under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I have, I count as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss, because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes from faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection of the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it on my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. O Lord, have mercy. A third reading from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew 21. Hear another parable, Jesus said. There was a master of a house who planted a vineyard. He put a fence around it. He dug a wine press in it, now built a tower and leased it to tenants, and then went away into another country. When the season for fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit. And the tenants took his servants, beat one, killed another, stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did the same thing to them. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance." And they took him, and they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. When therefore the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to these tenants? They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants, who will give him the fruits of their seasons." And Jesus said to them, "Have you not read the scriptures? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to people producing its fruits. And the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush them." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parable, they perceived that he was speaking about them. And although they were seeking to arrest him, they feared the crowds, because they held him to be a prophet. O Lord, have mercy. We continue with the common responsory. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. My bulletin says common responsory.
Page 221.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. There's a reason why they put the L right there at that particular point, because it says, leader, you do this right now. I didn't see the L. At this time, we're going to review the catechism. I invite you to turn to page 326. The question is asked, what is confession? Confession has two parts. First, that we confess our sins, and second, that we receive absolution, that is, forgiveness, from the pastor, from God himself, not doubting, but firmly believing that by it our sins are forgiven before God in heaven. What sins should we confess? Before God, we should plead guilty of all sins, even those we are not aware of, as we do in the Lord's Prayer. But before the pastor, we should confess only those sins which we know and feel in our hearts. And which are these? Consider your place in life according to the Kent Commandments. Are you a father, a mother, a son, daughter, husband, wife, or worker? Have you been disobedient, unfaithful, or lazy? Have you been hot-tempered, rude, or quarrelsome? Have you hurt someone by your words or deeds? Have you stolen, been negligent, wasted anything, or done any harm? We continue with the hymn of the day. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Begin with a question. Do you know anything about sour grapes? What are sour grapes? Yeah, maybe we could say moaning, groaning, griping, complaining, putting the worst construction on things. Sour grapes. Moaning, as I just said, those things. Truth be revealed, we all chew on sour grapes. When I think of sour grapes, I cannot help but think of God's people in the Old Testament as he delivered them out of the hands of the Egyptians. Trapped between Pharaoh and the Red Sea, the people said, "Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you brought us out into the wilderness to die like this, Moses? Did you bring us out here to have us die?" Sour grapes. What happened next? In short, the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians. No more sour grapes, right? Hardly. In the wilderness of Shur, there had been no water for 3 days. The Israelites came to water, but that water was undrinkable. The people grumbled against Moses. Again, they were dying of thirst. "And you have brought us to this poisoned water," they say. "What shall we drink?" God worked a miracle and turned the undrinkable water into drinkable water. The Lord saved them from perishing of thirst. And they saw the power of God, not only here, but at the Red Sea as well. No more sour grapes, right? The people grumbled against Moses. "We haven't had very much out here to eat. We're dying. What are you going to do about it?" Back in Egypt, and by the way, they forget what was going on in Egypt. They say, "Back in Egypt, we sat around meat pots, and we ate as much bread as we wanted until we had our full." Their memory was very, very short. God provided manna and quail from heaven, unending food supply to his people in the wilderness. No more sour grapes, right? Well, I could go on and on and on. Sour grapes all along the way with regard to the Israelites moaning, groaning, griping, and complaining. And when they finally got to the promised land, they were about ready to enter, but they were afraid. And why were they afraid? Well, the Canaanites, they're big and bad. They live in fortified cities. They are great warriors. We are no match for the Canaanites. Well, that's kind of sour grapes as well. And for 40 years, they wandered around in the wilderness. Ultimately, God gave them victory over their enemies. And if you will, they were planted into Canaan, what we now know as the Promised Land. 7 years of taking control of the land, God promised them, and he sent prophet Isaiah to confront the Israelites. "God has planted you in this holy land as a vineyard. He has provided everything that you need, and over and over and over again, he has watched over you. He has loved you. He has protected you. He has cared for you. And what kind of harvest have you returned?" In this reading, in chapter 5 of Isaiah, he says, "wild grapes." But back in Ezekiel, the reading last week, Ezekiel said, "sour grapes." This is the yield. Sour grapes. Is that what God expected? Absolutely not. Given all of his divine care for them, he expected fruit that would glorify his name, that they would be righteous people, bearing witness to the people around them that he is a holy God and the only God. But all I got in return for his efforts was griping and complaining, moaning and groaning, idolatry and disobedience, lip service and not life service. And this is what God said. What more was there for me to do in my vineyard that I have not already done for it? When I look for yield of grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I tell you, what will I do to my vineyard? And here comes judgment. Judgment upon their evil, wicked ways. I will remove its heads, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled upon. I will make it a waste place. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and briars and thorns shall grow up in the midst. I will also command the clouds that they provide no rain whatsoever. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts, now we know who they are, the vineyard is the house of Israel and the people of Judah. And God said, there will be judgment. 700 years after that, our Lord Jesus Christ repeats the same condemnation with regard to sour grapes. And the words of Isaiah are actually echoed in the words of Jesus as we had it in the gospel lesson for today. There was a master of a house who planted a vineyard. To protect the vineyard, he put a fence around it. To further protect, he built a tower so they could see enemies as they might come, so that they could see predators that might be lurking around. A watchtower, a bit of safety, if you will. He leased this protected vineyard to tenants, and then he went away into another country. The master, as we talked about in Bible study, the master is God. He planted his people in the promised land. When the season for fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit. And they, the tenants, took his servants, beat one, killed another, stoned yet another, and he sent more and more people, servants, along the way, and they did the same thing to them. These servants are the prophets of God. Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, etc., 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 all the prophets of God. And the prophets were supposed to say, and did say to the people, if you do not turn from your idolatry, if you do not turn from your wicked ways, if you do not turn, repent of your sin, and return to the Lord, you will, in fact, be punished. Well, when they heard that word, the Israelites responded with complete remorse. Right? Wrong. Finally, he sent his son, that is Jesus, saying, they will respect my son. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, this is the heir. Let us kill him and have his inheritance. And they took him and threw him out of the vineyard, and they killed him. Jesus is speaking of himself in this parable. He was rejected, in fact, by his own people. He was arrested, mocked, crucified, died, and buried. And that was the end of him, right? No, wrong. He rose from the dead, and his message to us is very, very clear. Worship me as God come in the flesh and live forever. Reject me and die forever. Life and death take us back to the words of Ezekiel from last week. Isaiah was God's prophet before the Babylonian captivity. Ezekiel was God's prophet during the Babylonian captivity. And last week, Ezekiel said, the word of the Lord has come to me. What do you mean by repeating this proverb concerning the land of Israel? The fathers have eaten sour grapes. It is the children's teeth that are set on edge. The gist of this proverb is this. Just because our fathers sinned in days gone by gives you, God, no reason to punish the children in the here and now. As I live, declares the Lord, this proverb shall no more be used of you in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine. Souls of the father, souls of the ancestors, but souls of the grandchildren and children as well. all souls are mine. The soul of the Father on down through the generations. And in fact, God's Word helps us know very, very clearly that every generation in and of itself sins and falls short of the glory of God, including our generation, folks, gathered here today. So God says, I will judge everyone according to their ways, declares the Lord God. Repent, turn away from your transgressions, lest iniquity be your ruin. Cast away from you all transgressions that you have committed. Why will you die? Why will you die in your sins, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure. I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Lord. So turn and live. With these, just these few words in front of us for today, what does God hate? And by the way, it's okay for God to hate. What does God hate? Sin that leads to death. God hates sin. God hates death. So what does he love? His son, Jesus Christ, and each and every one of you gathered here today. God loved you so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to live, suffer, die, and rise again. So as you trust and believe in him, you shall not perish, but have everlasting life, eternal life. And at this particular point, a hymn popped to my mind, Life, Death, and Is Chief of Sinners Though I Be. And the truth of the matter is, this particular passage or this hymn has a really direct impact on my life. It's going to be the sermon hymn at my funeral. Chief of sinners though I be, Jesus shed his blood for me, died that I might live, live on high, lives that I might never die. As the branch is to the vine, I am his and he is mine. And then another last verse. O my Savior, help afford by your Spirit and your Word. When my wayward heart should stray, keep me in the narrow way. Grace in time of need supply while I live and when I die. Sour grapes. I could share with you that I've talked in various ways over time, sinful. Sour grapes, moaning, groaning, griping, and complaining, perhaps, about someone else or somebody else's. In my ministry, I can actually think of a number of people that they were never happy. They were never, ever happy. There was always something wrong, always something wrong, indeed, with other people, and other people were the cause of their frustrating, difficult circumstances. And I did as best I could along the way to lovingly counsel folks when I saw that being played out over and over and over again. I did not necessarily share with them at this particular moment what is in Galatians. Perhaps I didn't do that then. But let me share with you what the fruit of the Holy Spirit is. Love, hope, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, forgiveness, and self-control. And the Lord says to us, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, whatever is excellent, whatever is worthy of praise, think about these things. Putting the best construction on other people in life's circumstances. Paul indeed said in Philippians, I am content. I am content. No matter what the circumstances, I am content. And you and I are going to head out into the world in these next few days with the week to come. And the question becomes for us, what fruit shall we bear as we are out and about among others? We think about that And ultimately, by the grace of God, we want to show love. We want to show forgiveness. We want to think the best of every circumstance and everyone we run into. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your heart and my heart and Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. I invite you to rise. We confess our common faith as before us in the Apostles' Creed. You can find that in the back of your hymnal, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. We pray together. Gracious God, you gave your Son into the hands of sinful men who killed him. Forgive us when we reject your unfailing love, and grant us the fullness of your salvation through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Pastor Tibben has provided some prayers for you this morning as we share that back and forth, Pastor and congregation. And certainly we pray for Pastor Tibben and his family with regard to what's going on right now in quarantine. With that in mind, O Lord, we pray for our nation, that the Lord would bless the justices, the judges, and the magistrates who serve throughout our land, that they may exchange their duties or discharge their duties impartially. Follow established law and be faithful to the next text of the Constitution. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For our neighbors in the West, as the wildfires continue to rage, that the Lord would watch over our neighbors, protect their homes, preserve their lives, that he would comfort those who have lost loved ones, provide for those whose homes and possessions have been destroyed, bless those who are fighting the wildfires, and provide favorable weather that will assist in the effort. Let us pray to the Lord. For all who serve in our law enforcement agencies, that the Lord would help us to honor the office they hold, support them with our prayers, encourage them with our words and actions, and hold them accountable when they abuse their authority. Let us pray to the Lord. For the sick and injured, especially today, for Terry, Karen, Dale, Harry, Phyllis, Andy, and all who are named on our prayer list, that the Lord would have compassion on them in his loving kindness, heal their sickness, calm their troubles, and fill their hearts with hope of the resurrection of the body to life everlasting. Let us pray to the Lord. For the unbelieving and the baptized, that the Lord, through the preaching of the gospel, would help them to forget what lies behind, trust in him, receive his gift of righteousness, and rejoice in his heavenward call. For the Lutheran Women's Missionary League, as they support the proclamation of the gospel with their prayers and mites, that the Lord would bless their efforts as fellow workers in his vineyard. Let us pray to the Lord. For Emmanuel Congregation, that the Lord, who gives his church pastors to feed his lambs, tend his sheep, would give them a pastor who will feed and tend them. Let us pray to the Lord. For Trinity Lutheran School, that the Lord, who called forth praise out of the mouths of young children as he rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, would call forth praise out of the mouths of our students who trusted him as the one who came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Let us pray to the Lord. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through our Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue by praying the collect of grace. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but all doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Lord, bless you and keep you. Lord, make his face shine upon you and give you peace. Look on you with favor in all the days of your life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.